lead to a good deal, the current U.S. administration will feel defeated in the near future due to lack of timely use of diplomatic opportunities. As all eyes are on the venue of the talks in Vienna, Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Grossi, will visit Tehran on Saturday to hold talks with Iran's nuclear chief and other top officials. The IAEA says the two sides will discuss outstanding safeguards issues with a view to addressing them. Does Grossi's trip boost the chances of a deal in Vienna? It is hard to guess at this point. The negotiations have been very complex, and there is no guarantee that they will end in a deal. It now seems that the fate of the diplomatic effort largely depends on whether the West will finally choose to make necessary political decisions.
Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has blamed the American regime for the current Ukraine crisis. He demanded an end to the war in Ukraine, saying the Islamic Republic of Iran has always opposed war and destruction anywhere in the world. The U.S. disrupted the stability of the country by interfering in its affairs and organizing rallies and creating a color coup. We oppose the killing of people and the destruction of the infrastructure of nations. Leader called the U.S. a perfect example and manifestation of modern ignorance, saying it feeds off the crises it creates all around the world.
Washington are glorified mobsters. That's all. America does to all of its allies. You've got to remember, there's a very good saying, if you're an American enemy, they might bribe you and bring you into their team. If you're their ally, good luck to you, sir.
Ayatollah Khamenei is referring to years of U.S. meddling in Ukraine since it became an independent state in the 1990s. After the fall of the Soviet Union, the U.S. pledged not to expand NATO eastward, close to the borders with Russia. But the U.S. and its Western allies reneged their pledges and started to include more Eastern European countries into the Western military alliance. In 2014, the U.S. implemented a color revolution in Ukraine and overthrew its democratically elected government. U.S. also supported the inclusion of right-wing groups and elements within Ukraine's government. It's now widely believed that in trying to move Ukraine into their orbit, Washington and its European allies overextended themselves, and Russia's intervention, firstly in facilitating Crimea's reunification with Moscow in 2014, then with the official recognition of the independence and sovereignty of the People's Republics of Donetsk and Luhansk, and now with a wider military operation to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine, is the result. Elsewhere, in his remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei said there are lessons to be drawn with regard to the Ukraine crisis. He said Western powers cannot be trusted and their support for their puppet regimes is only, quote, a mirage. Iran's leader said both Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and former Afghan President Ashraf Ghani have acknowledged that the U.S. simply abandoned them amid their domestic crises. As the crisis unfolded in Ukraine, the country's president, Zelensky, being left alone by the West. The U.S. has refused to send in soldiers to the country to protect its people and has only pledged more money and weapons.
Well, the Ukrainian president was basically helped into power by American advisors and American campaign organizers. The Ukrainian president was told that he could go ahead and put down by force the Donbass ethnic Russians who revolted after the government in Ukraine banned their language and restricted their ethnic autonomy.
The same scenario happened in Afghanistan, when after 20 years of occupation, the U.S. disastrously pulled out of the country, leaving President Ghani and Afghan people alone in the face of Taliban fighters. The U.S. is facing backlash over its treatment of its Arab allies. Despite selling them weapons worth billions of dollars and pledging support, it has failed to provide them with sustainable security.
more desperate. They put you in a more serious situation than you were before, and the terms that they dictate to you are much, much more demanding than it would have been had you not taken the actions that they allowed you to take at the first. So Zelensky took actions against his own ethnic Russian citizens at the bidding of the United States, at their will.
It's now become apparent that the failure of successive U.S. presidents and their European allies since the end of the Soviet era has been to overestimate their own power and underestimate that of Russia, China, Iran, and other countries that are outside their sphere of influence.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the importance of having halal sustenance. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in today's lesson we will talk about the importance of having the halal sustenance. According to the Islamic lifestyle, or in order to have an Islamic lifestyle, it is important to have a halal sustenance, a halal food. Why? It is because the food has direct effect on the mankind, on the human beings. And this is the food which can make them angry, which can make them someone who has a lot of stress, maybe phobia, maybe he has a lot of panic, maybe he is so calm. It is all depends on the food that we eat. We know that in China, or in the traditional, we can say like medicine, there are many plants with the different categories which are used for different purposes. For example, if someone has a lot of stress, he can have a specific tea made with the specific leaves that will make him feeling calm. If someone feels anxiety, there are some other things for him. If someone has a high blood pressure, it can help to lower the pressure. And there are many other things which are being controlled with these leaves. And why is it? It is because it has a direct effect on us. And this effect is not only on the body of the person, but it is on the soul as well, on the spirit and the soul of the mankind as well. Therefore, because being a Muslim, we know that we have two things in ourselves. One is our body and the other thing is our soul. Therefore, we need to look after both of them, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of the importance of halal sustenance in the Islamic lifestyle, and we said that the food has a direct effect not only on the body of a person, but also on the soul of that person. Therefore, in order to have a physical and the spiritual peace, it is important to look after the food that we eat. We know that in the Quran even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he narrates the story of the Prophet Moses alayhi salam, there he says that before Moses, Allah had made for Moses the wet nurses haram upon him. It was forbidden on him to have milk from any vet nurse. So therefore, in the Quran it says, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. It is chapter Qasas, verse number 12. And Allah says that we have made forbidden for him the vet nurses from before. And therefore we can see why it was done for the Moses, because Moses was about to be someone who will be known as Kalimullah, the one who speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we can see the vet nurse for the Moses in the palace of Pharaoh was his own mother. So his own mother came in the his own mother came to the palace of Pharaoh, and she used to breastfeed Moses alayhi salam. Now that pure milk that he had from his mother, that pure sustenance that he has from his mother, that made him Kalimullah, because his mother was also from the house of saints. Obviously, the mother of Prophet is from the purest women of that time. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made things right for the Moses alayhi salam so that he will become the Kalimullah. And therefore, even the milk at that time which he is supposed to take is obviously from the right person who take care of the food, and they also are following the teachings of the Islam at that time. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
The racist undertones and overtones of much Western coverage, with commentators and interviewees regularly stressing how Ukrainian refugees are European, civilized, blonde-haired and blue-eyed, is hard to miss, says Jonathan Cook, journalist, in an article published under the heading Russia-Ukraine. Western media are acting as cheerleaders for war. Stay tuned for the first part of this article, please. It is simply astonishing how many Western journalists, including BBC reporters, are shamelessly fawning over young women building Molotov cocktails on the streets of Ukrainian cities like Kiev. It's suddenly attractive to make improvised explosives, at least if the media consider you white, European, and civilized. That might surprise other, more established resistance movements, especially in the West Asia region. They have invariably found themselves tarred as terrorists for doing much the same. Western journalists' difficulty containing their identification with and support for Ukraine's civilian resistance must be maddening to Palestinians in tiny Gaza, for example, who have been locked into a metal cage by an Israeli regime military occupier for decades. Palestinians in Gaza have also suffered a trade blockade by the Zionist regime for the past 15 years, one designed to put them on a starvation diet. Protesters, including women, children and people in wheelchairs, have regularly turned out to throw a stone in the direction of distant Israeli snipers, hidden behind fortifications, as a symbolic way to demand their freedom. These protesters have often been shot by the Zionist regime army in response. The Western media offer occasional anguish at the lives lost or the legs amputated of those targeted by the snipers. But none of them cheerlead this Palestinian resistance as they do the Ukrainian one. More usually, the protesters are treated as dupes. Gaza, unlike Ukraine, does not have an army, and its fighters, unlike Ukraine's, are not being armed by the West. The Guardian newspaper even censored its cartoonist Steve Bell when he sought to depict one of the victims of the Zionist regime's snipers, a nurse, Razan Najjar, who had been trying to help the wounded. The paper implied that the cartoon of Britain's then Prime Minister, Theresa May, welcoming her Israeli counterpart, Benjamin Netanyahu, to London, with Najjar, a sacrificial victim behind them, in the first place, was anti-Semitic. Assuming the media has in the past been reluctant to encourage ordinary people to confront well-armed troops so as to avoid civilian casualties, then why has that policy suddenly been ditched in Ukraine? The double standards are glaring and everywhere. It is impossible to claim that the journalists doing this are ignorant of reporting conventions elsewhere. They're mostly veterans of the West Asia region war zones, well used to covering Gaza, Baghdad, Nablus, Aleppo, and Tripoli. Britain and other European states have chosen to fuel the fires of resistance in Ukraine by sending it weapons that can only lead to greater loss of life, especially of civilians caught in the crossfire. One might have expected the British media to examine the ethical implications of such a policy and the hypocrisy, but not a bit of it. In fact, much of the media have not only been acting as lobbyists for more weapons to be sent to the Ukrainian army, they have whipped up support for civilians in the UK to get more involved in the fighting. That has been the case even after number 10 distanced itself from comments by Liz Truss, the foreign secretary, that Britons should be encouraged to volunteer for Ukraine's so-called international legion, supposedly to defend Europe. Her position was in conflict with usual government practice, which has treated those heading off to fight in war zones in the West Asia region as terrorists. Shamima Begum, who went to Syria aged 15, has been stripped of her British citizenship and denied the right to return for doing what Truss has proposed in Ukraine. Nonetheless, that did not dissuade the BBC from travelling to Essex to meet Devoza, a supplier of surplus British Army kit he has been selling cheaply to Ukrainians in Britain so they can head off to the battlefront. Devoza was shown tearing off Union Jack insignia from uniform so Ukrainian militia men could use them. Compare that with the treatment of an entirely peaceful form of resistance by Westerners in solidarity with the Palestinians, their national boycott, sanctions and divestment BDS movement. It has been treated as barely better than terrorism, with bans on support for BDS across Europe and the US. It is hard to remember in all the media agitation over Ukraine that this sympathetic coverage flies in the face of its reporting conventions. It is inconceivable, of course, that Britain would ever send arms to help, for example, Gaza liberate itself. For that reason, the media will never have the opportunity to exercise their vocal cords in outrage at such a development. In fact, the Western media more typically echo Western government opposition to any support for Gaza, even construction materials like cement, to rebuild the enclave after one of the Zionist regime's intermittent wrecking sprees. That is because reporters treat uncritically. The Zionist regime claims that humanitarian aid will be repurposed by some groups and bolster terrorism. Back in 2010, for example, BBC Panorama program failed to mention that an Israeli regime naval attack on a humanitarian aid convoy to besieged Gaza was conducted illegally in international waters. 9 activists trying to deliver aid items like medicine to Gaza aboard the Mavi Marmara ship were killed by the Zionist regime commandos. But the interviews with these masked men were largely uncritical. There was very little sympathy from the BBC for that act of resistance against a brutal occupier. A year earlier, the BBC broke with tradition and refused to broadcast a long-established aid appeal because on this occasion it was to provide food and shelter to Gaza following Israeli regime assault that destroyed Suez of the enclave. The BBC justified the decision on the grounds that it would compromise its impartiality, something it seems entirely unconcerned about in Ukraine. The BBC had not responded to questions about these inconsistencies by the time of publication.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station. Youth Station.
Islamadi, Allah my Lord, Allah my Lord. His word Quran, His word Quran. Muhammad, Muhammad, praise be upon, praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the IRIB English Radio. This is the Youth Station. I am your host, Zainab, and I have with me, dear
Asma.
Asma, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Zainab, I'm very good now that I'm seeing you.
You give a positive energy to me always.
You too. The same in here. My eyes get like a heart.
Wow. Alhamdulillah.
How for having you here.
Yeah, thank you.
So how's everything?
Say Alhamdulillah, you say. What's going on?
Thank God. We are drowned in life.
Oh.
The same as always.
Literatures are always drowned. And poets and all. Yes. So, Asma, what do you think about expectations?
Too bad. Expectations are too bad.
Let's discuss something about expectations. What do you think? Which part of it we should go for?
What parents.
Parents.
Would want their children to be.
Yeah. So we'll discuss expectations of parents from the children.
Yes. You are parents. You can start with that.
Yeah, sure.
As a parent, do you expect too much from your children? Or do you think as they grow, you would grow your expectations?
Yeah, I think one of my friends recently taught me a very, very beautiful thing.
Which was?
Which was that I got a bed, a double bed for my kids. And then, I don't know, the best of the mattresses, the best of the coverings. And the coverings, and that was so expensive for me because the coverings were that of, I don't know, some... The ones the
nowadays,
kids like.
Nowadays everything is expensive.
I don't know, especially the teddy bears, the McQueen thing. So I just covered them the way they wanted it, in a much better way they wanted it. And one of my friends was making a video call and she told me like, wow, that's so nice. What a bed covering and all. I said, yeah, I made a lot of efforts, and I wish, I hope they remember this tomorrow, that how many efforts their mom made.
Oh, so you do it so that they remember it.
So, yeah, like she pointed out to this, like, don't do things that they remember things.
Yes.
Do things for Allah, you know? Why are you doing things for that they remember?
But it's very difficult to do things without
return.
I
was in a normal phase of expecting that they remember my efforts. But my friend gave me a wake-up call to not do things that they remember. Because if tomorrow they do not remember, you will get hurt.
Exactly.
And don't do things for kids to
usually the
remember.
One who has expectation is the one who's going to end up hurt.
Yeah,
who's
end
going
up
to
hurts.
End up like heartbroken.
Expectations always end up in hurting you.
Expectations hurt.
And even I remember, like, my son was 8 months old when I dropped him to a...
So tiny they were.
Yeah. He had a nursery school, I must say, a play school.
Mm-hmm.
And my class was exactly behind, like, upstairs. And he was downstairs in a play school. And I went every 15 minutes to see him. Every 15 minutes.
And like all the mothers do.
Yeah. And my friends used to tell me, you are killing yourself going there again and again and again. And I again told them the same line. If I die tomorrow, tell my kids your mom made so many rounds. You know?
So God forbid that.
I think one of the expectations that every parent has is to the efforts that they made, they want them to remember by the kids. This is one of the expectations. I personally, as a parent, think the parents have. But at the same time, I have realized that this expectation is very bad because they are not going to remember everything.
Yes.
How do I expect my 8-month-old that I dropped in a play school to remember how many rounds I make?
That would have an effect on them, trust me. Now, whatever my mom or my dad, they have done, maybe I was very much like a kiddo. I don't remember anything of it. But the passion that is built between us is so strong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That would still leave that would leave a fingerprint in their heart. The thing is that we should not expect too much from our children.
I want that fingerprint to become much bolder. As a parent, I don't want this fingerprint to remain a fingerprint. I want this to become a little bolder. Not I as a parent, because my kids are too small. We as youth, as friends, we used to get sometimes very disappointed with our parents because they expected us to tell things which we were not able to share with them, you know. When you reach a certain age, especially in your teens, you love to spend more time with your friends than your parents. And that's natural.
Yeah,
I think parents should give this space to their children.
Also, sometimes I'm not very much with that notion that says be friend with your children, because that friendship, you
because
have to
a
pay a lot
gap.
For it.
How can you be? There's a generation gap. You cannot be. You cannot be. You can be. You can be. But you cannot be the friend of his age.
Yes.
You have a generation gap with you.
Just give them a space to
give
tell you
space.
Everything.
Give them space.
To feel free, to feel at home with you.
And more important thing is that, be much important thing that is, you are giving them space. The much important thing that you as a parent have to focus is that, how I'm nurturing my child.
Yeah.
Am I teaching him to be responsible? How I taught him to be, not
that
to be a liar.
That is really important. Really.
Not to be unjust.
As much as you expect them, you have to teach them things.
No. If you teach them the notion of being fair enough, being just enough, being responsible enough from the very beginning of their life, you can leave them like a free bird once they are like grown older. You know, once they enter into their teens and all, you are very much sure about your nurturing portion, how you nurtured them.
Yes.
How you educated them, what you taught
them.
This
is the fruit of the tree you planted.
Exactly. So when this person is going out in a society and making a friend, he, as a responsible person, will make a responsible friend. Stay tuned to IRIV English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So just for those who joined us recently,
right now,
right
you
now,
can. You will say.
I'm going just to give you the gist, a hint of what we're talking about. We're talking about the expectations of parents from their children. Now, one is for them to remember everything their parents are doing.
Remember their efforts.
Yes, remember their effort. Their youth, they are spending their youth on them.
Have you ever heard like parents telling their children, you're behaving with me like this, you don't remember, I did this for you, I did that
yes,
for you.
Yes, that's very normal. That's their normal of parenting.
Yeah, because they want you to remember.
Yes, and also I think respect is very important.
Yeah.
They want respect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That happens a lot. We see that a lot. Being respectful is so important.
Yeah.
After all, they're people who are going to get older. You have to be patient with them. I mean, the parents.
Yeah.
Once they were young and now they're growing and they're getting old. And they expect you to respect them a lot and a lot. Because as they grow, we grow with them.
We grow with them.
But at the same time that we're getting busy, they need more of attention.
I think the parents today, mm-hmm. what they expect from the children is that we wish they kept this device, this phone, this screen aside for a moment and they spent these few moments with us.
Oh, yes.
Discussing with us.
Leave your phones aside and go for your parents.
That's one of the...
Share a cuddle with your parents.
Yeah, that's really one of the biggest yes. expectations parents have, that we wish our kids eat food with us.
Being kind is so important at yeah. all ages. Giving the choice between good and kind, between right and kind, I always... side with kind, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I would love to be kind. That's a much better choice than anything else.
Yeah, true.
Do not invest on them so much.
Invest on them so much. Do not yes. expect the things that you are pretty sure that your son mm-hmm. or your daughter won't be, you know, coming up with that. Do not expect. That's how you get hurt, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Since we're talking about the expectations of parent, also we have this... phrase in the Holy Quran, which tells "Wabil walidayni ahsana."
Ahsana, yeah.
That means be kind with your parents.
Be kind to your parents.
Regarding the kindness that we talked about, yes, do good to them. Whenever I tell my mom that, for example, those parents are bad, they are not doing their children well, she tells me, "Don't say that. There is no parent in this world.
No parent can be bad.
Yes, who is bad? She has nurtured that child, or he has brought up that child into this world.
She's gone through that path. She has, yeah. you know, went all through mm-hmm. those thorns and all. So you cannot just judge. Quran tells you only if they are not inviting you to be kafir,
yes,
they are not inviting
yes.
you to be a non-believer. Only at that point you don't have to mm-hmm. Listen to them.
To disobey them. Only at that time
yeah, yeah.
you have the right to disobey them.
Otherwise you have
them.
To obey. Like Quran is teaching you to be obedient. So your parents expecting mm-hmm. you to be obedient is natural
because
enough.
Because after all, they have given you life, you know.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a choice in terms of choosing a partner. Mm-hmm. You have choice. You can choose a partner of your own choice in this world. You yes. cannot blame Allah tomorrow. Like, you did this. You gave me this partner and all. There's complete choice. But in terms of parents, he knows who can parent
yes.
better with which child. So he made this parent-child relationship. I think when Allah is saying certain things in Quran, like to be obedient to your parents, mm-hmm. parents expecting you to be obedient is obvious.
And also there are so much of advices and recommendations
yeah, so
from
many.
Ahlul Bayt. They
a
have
of,
always
a
recommended
of.
Us to be kind to our parents, to respect them, our mother, our father.
To visit them.
Yes,
once
to pay
like,
them
once
visit.
Once you have grown up. And you are living
and
a separate
so
life.
And we have so much of
grown
stories,
up.
You know, in our Islamic heritage about respecting parents,
respecting
about
parents.
returning all the goodness they've done to us.
Yeah, I think the worst expectation, we were talking about expectations of parents with their children. I think the expectation that parents have that I'm making all these efforts and I want my kid to do all these efforts for me tomorrow. That's a bit natural, but the most expectations are in materialistic form.
Oh.
Like I am spending a lot of money to send my son or daughter to learn something, but I'm at the same time expecting that once he'll be doing job over there, once he'll be doing job over there, and then they'll be sending
parent.
Me money from there to take care
at
of
the
me.
At the age when they do not have the ability to do anything.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a responsibility of a child. Once you keep that as expectation, that's not good.
Yes, that
do
would
not
hurt
give it as
because maybe they don't do
just
that.
Just think they are sources, but the direct giver is Allah.
Exactly.
The one who is providing you, the one who is giving you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your child is not able to pay you back, if he's not able to earn enough and give you back, let him live his life.
Yeah.
Let him take care of his wife.
Yes, yes.
Allah is yours.
Forget
he gives,
their parents.
He gives food to an insect living under a stone.
Exactly.
So why can't you
He would
you
never
expect?
Forget a single being in this universe.
Exactly. Never, never. Like he does not forget insects, Asma.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, every creature. So I must see this thing and I must depend and expect more and more and more from Allah. Allah is Rahim. He is Rahman. He's the giver. He's the best giver. So
actually,
the more
it's very
I expect
nice.
From him.
You're saying the parents should pin their hopes on God, on Allah, not on their children.
And
once they
pin that, you know what happens?
They would do everything for him, and they know there's no return.
Allah returns in the best of the ways.
Yes, and he would return it in the best. And also,
maybe through your children. Maybe through your children, yeah. And the most of the times he returns you through things through your children.
But sometimes children become the test of their parent, you know?
Yeah.
It's not always like,
both.
I do this and it would be returned to me. No, sometimes you do everything in your power and then you get the reverse.
So
that's it. It's all the time we've got.
So I think overall, what we said was that we must expect things as parents, but not expect unnecessary things. The most of our hopes and expectations should be that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
And,
yes.
And if we want to expect something really from our kids, the same things that Quran has said, obedience.
Yes, obedience.
Obedience.
Be kind to your parents and do them good.
Ihsan, to be very kind to your parents, to be good to them.
Yes, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. You're listening to
IRB English Radio.
Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullah.
Wa barakatuh.
Analysis reveals how much faster Omicron spreads and evades the immune system compared with the previous variant. Stay with us for an article in this regard written by Smriti Malapati Ryder. This article is published under the heading COVID-19, How Omicron Overtook Delta in 3 Charts. Here's the story. People infected with the Omicron variant of the coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 are almost 50% more likely to infect those they live with than are individuals infected with the Delta variant, a detailed analysis from England shows. Since it was first detected in South Africa in late 2021, Omicron has caused a wave of infections and deaths in countries around the globe, including in places such as Hong Kong that have been largely spared by SARS-CoV-2 until now. Data have been mounting on Omicron's ability to evade vaccines, but a rigorous analysis posted as a preprint on February 17th looks at how fast it spreads, even in vaccinated people compared with a previous variant. The study has not yet been peer-reviewed. In England, Omicron was first detected in mid-November 2021 and quickly overtook Delta as the dominant variant. Its past spread was probably driven by its ability to evade immunity generated by vaccines, says Maram Kilpatrick, an infectious disease researcher at the University of California, Santa Cruz. These types of immune-evasive variants will continue to be selected for, he says. We can almost count on them arising. Researchers at the UK Health Security Agency analyzed data on 51,281 people who tested positive for Omicron or Delta between 5 and 11 December 2021 and their 151,592 close contacts. The scientists found that whereas people infected with Delta spread the infection or to roughly 11% of their household members, those who had Omicron spread it to almost 16%. That means there is a 48% increased risk of passing on the virus when infected with Omicron than with Delta. That difference is even more striking outside the home. People infected with Delta spread the infection to roughly 4% of people they came in contact with outside their home, whereas those with Omicron passed it to 8% of people, so the risk more than doubled. Omicron's transmission advantage is more apparent outside the household because even with fewer opportunities for repeated and prolonged exposure to the virus, the risk of catching it is more than double compared to Delta, says Kilpatrick. The researchers also assessed how vaccination affected people's chances of catching the two variants and found that unvaccinated household members were 23% more likely to get infected with Omicron than with the Delta. But that gap widened in people who have been vaccinated, revealing Omicron's edge at evading vaccine-triggered immunity. Household members who had received three doses of a SARS-CoV-2 vaccine were more than twice as likely to be infected with Omicron than with Delta. If someone had received three vaccine doses, they were also about twice as likely to pass Omicron onto another household member than they were Delta. The data also show that a third vaccine dose had a marginal beneficial effect on transmission of both variants compared to only two doses, although this effect was larger for Delta than it was for Omicron. After a third dose, household members were about 32% less likely to get infected with Delta and 12% less likely to become infected with Omicron than if they had received just two doses. People who had received a booster shot were 38% less likely to spread a Delta infection to their household members and 22% less likely to pass an Omicron infection than were those who had just two shots. Although this study suggests that existing SARS-CoV-2 vaccines offer limited protection against infection with Omicron, other research has shown that they are effective at preventing severe disease caused by both variants, says Leo Poon, a virologist at the University of Hong Kong. But he points out that the work has done at a time when the BA subvariant of 1 micron was circulating, and that now that another subvariant, BA2, is rapidly gaining stream. This variant will need to be investigated too. Nevertheless, vaccination is still one of the most effective measures to protect ourselves against severe disease, hospitalization, death.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoint on Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, March 18th, 2002.
The magnanimous Imam Sajjad alayhi salam lived for almost 34 years after the Karbala event. In an Islamic environment of that time, his life, history, is full of lessons. Hopefully, those who are aware of the qualities of his life will relate them to the people, to Muslims and to even non-Muslims, so that everybody learns how our fourth great Imam, alayhi salam, after Ashura, which was a huge blow to the pure and true Islam, managed to stand alone and prevent the destruction of religion foundation. It is quoted that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam returned to Medina. Following the event of Ashura, a person came to him and said, Son of the Prophet, see what happened because you went there. The caravan returned with only one man, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. The women were captured, suffered, and mourned. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was no longer among them. Neither Ali al-Akbar nor the infant child were left among them. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam replied to that person, think what would have happened if we had not gone. Yes, it is if they had not gone, the bodies would have survived, but the truth would have been destroyed. The soul would have melted. The consciousness would have been trampled. The wisdom and logic would have been condemned throughout history, and even the name of Islam would not have remained.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today,
and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Sometimes maintaining the goal and the value of the martyr's blood is just as important as martyrdom itself. The 30 years of suffering endured by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and the suffering of Zainab al-Kubra alayhi salam for several years is this kind. They suffered to hold into this blood. After them, all the Imams alayhi salam incurred this suffering until the time of absence. Today, it is our duty, of course. Today, the situation is different compared to that time. Presently, thank to God, the government of truth, that is the government of martyrdom, is upright. So we have a duty to perform.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
In a historic and surprising decision, the European Union has decided to give refugees from war the instant right to live within the bloc and freely travel. They also have the right to work. They even now have rights to housing and medical care. There is one catch. This only applies to Ukrainians. These rights are not being extended to refugees from Palestine, Yemen, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, Mali, the Central African Republic, or any of the other countries in which Western armed interventions provoked refugee crises. Seemingly no one would begrudge Ukrainian refugees their human rights, but many in France are wondering why they are getting treated totally differently from black, brown, and Muslim asylum seekers.
Apparently you have to be white and Christian to be treated properly by the European Union. That's the sad reality, and it's totally unacceptable. We cannot discriminate according to religion, nationality or color, which are all things which we don't choose. What we can choose is to be human and to have solidarity with each other.
Drowning by the dozens in Calais, France. Freezing to death in Poland. Packed into camps in Italy, building steel fences, denying basic sanitation, fear-mongering about refugees election after election. The long-running European refugee crisis has taken a new turn, and yet standard European policy remains mostly unchanged. An outcry is growing for the European Union to extend their unity, and many say their humanity, towards non-white refugees.
We have to receive refugees and give them normal, humane conditions, regardless of what continent they come from. We have seen acts towards refugees on the Polish border, and we can't allow such things to happen in France. The government has to treat all refugees with total equality and with urgent measures like proper lodging.
Many say the open discrimination, which reveals a deep racism and xenophobia, as well as an arrogant hypocrisy, will ultimately stain the European Union around the world and at home. Many in the French media are describing Ukrainian refugees as somehow qualitatively superior to other asylum seekers. However, many hope that the European Union realizes soon that all refugees are equal and deserving of dignity, assistance, and the same rights without discrimination. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
When it comes to NATO support and American leadership, we have better ask Afghans. They have the experience of 20 years of Western forces presence in their country. Afghans had counted on Western powers at the beginning, but what the US and its allies really brought for Afghanistan?
Betrayal, definitely. The US and its allies' presence led our country to gallop backward. However, they failed in Afghanistan and ruined our country. We didn't gain anything from dealing with the West except destruction, poverty, and many, many crises.
Sayed Bakir Kazemi was an advisor to the former Afghan president Ashraf Ghani. He believes Ghani's government easily collapsed because he trusted the US and relied on NATO forces.
It is obvious and historically proven that any government or administration that trusted the U.S. or relied on the West ended up with failure and downfall. This experience is repeated in many countries. Former Afghan President Ashraf Ghani did the same mistake and faced a bad downfall.
Some Afghan experts also blame crisis in Ukraine on the U.S., saying nations are falling victim to the U.S. policies of creating war and terror.
The U.S. is using Ukrainians for its own benefits. Western powers don't care about the collapse and destruction of a nation or government. They follow their own devil policies. Afghanistan's experience is repeating in Ukraine. I hope Ukrainians' leaders learn from Afghanistan disaster and crisis ends in their country.
After 20 years of invasion, the U.S. and its allies hastily abandoned Afghanistan in mid-August last year. Today, the country is dealing with the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Afghans are critical of U.S. policies and its legacy on their soil. They consider trusting the U.S. as a big mistake that no country should ever make it. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
British Muslims massed outside Pakistan's High Commission in London, condemning sectarian killings of the country's Shia minority. The vigil comes after a suicide bomber struck inside a Shia Muslim mosque in the northwestern city of Peshawar during Friday prayers last week, killing around 60 worshippers and wounding some 196 people.
The attack may have taken place thousands of miles away, but the pain and hurt that has been felt has resonated across the Muslim world. As you can see behind me, well over 100 people have turned out here today to not only send their thoughts and prayers back to Pakistan, but also to vent their anger and fury at the fact that these types of attacks are still taking place even now.
Daesh claimed responsibility for the attack. The terror group has threatened more violence against Pakistan's Shia. But these worshippers issued strong words of their own.
Shias are like a seed. You bury one and it sprouts out a million more. And they can continue to do whatever they're doing. And I look into their eyes right now and I say, you continue to do what you're doing, but you will never succeed in ending the Shia of Imam Ali, alayhi salam.
We shouldn't have to live in fear that if we go to pray on a Friday, we won't come back. We should know that we're safe and that we're able to do all of this freely. And I want everybody to understand this, that we're taking action because this has happened several times and this needs to stop.
If becoming a creature like you is called being a Muslim, then I think I'm fine with the religion that I stand with. And I think I'm all of these people that are here also stand with me.
Friday's attack was the deadliest in the country since 2018, when 149 people lost their lives, including 9 children, in a terrorist explosion at an election rally in Balochistan. With more than one sectarian terrorist group active in Pakistan, many fear these bloodthirsty bombings will continue to plague Pakistan's religious minorities. Robert Carter, London.
Waiting until the final moment to register in order to skirt laws on equal media time for election candidates, French President Emmanuel Macron confirmed he will run for re-election. The slate of candidates is now finalized. Macron began his term hailed as the new leader of the free world, but his once-in-a-century repression of the Yellow Vests has many calling him a liberal strongman who enforces rubber bullet liberalism. Macron is leading in the first round and has a comfortable lead in the second round of roughly 60-40 over far-right mainstay Marine Le Pen. The Russian special military operation in Ukraine has given Macron a 5-point increase in the past 2 weeks, and the ending of extremely strict coronavirus rules in mid-March may lead to another increase. However, Western polling agencies have become severely discredited in recent years, with France